When you're just walking along and something just stops you dead in your tracks. Well, recently for me, it was this incredible metal sculpture, all these like sharp angles making human shapes. And I just instantly needed to know more, What is the story here?
Ah, that feeling, that pull to understand more. That's exactly what we're diving into today. That striking piece you saw, Cut Out People in Dublin, that's our focus. And for you, our listener, if you want to get the good stuff, get it quickly and thoroughly. Well, we're going to unpack this artwork, explore its place, and really get to know the fascinating artist behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah, our mission today is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Let's truly understand Cut Out People. Where is it? What's it really about?
Yeah.
And who's the influential mind that created it? Now, I have to say, when I first started digging into this, the artist's name, it kind of threw me for a loop. I kept seeing Dan McCarthy.
Right.
But the details, founding the National Sculpture Factory, Triskell Art Center, leading Sirius Art Center, they just weren't lining up. It didn't seem to connect with this other Dan McCarthy I found, an American painter, ceramicist.
Yeah,
a bit of a rabbit hole.
That initial confusion is completely understandable. It really is. There are, in fact, several artists with similar names doing significant work. So let's be crystal clear right from the start. Our deep dive today, it's into the work of the acclaimed Irish artist Danny McCarthy. His deep ties to those Irish arts institutions you mentioned, founding director, National Sculpture Factory, Triskell Art Center, both in Cork.
Right, Cork.
And director of Sirius Art Center in Cobb. Those are the key identifiers.
Okay, that makes sense. And just to sort of untangle it further for everyone listening, The American Dan McCarthy we found, known for paintings, ceramics, born in Hawaii, studies in San Francisco.
Different guy entirely.
Totally different themes too, landscapes, death, rebirth. And then there's also Paul McCarthy, the multimedia artist. Also different, exploring sexuality, death, cultural subconscious.
Right. Also not our focus today.
So, crucial, we're all on the same page. Our Danny McCarthy is distinct.
Precisely. Context is absolutely everything here. So now that we've hopefully cleared that up, let's turn to the sculpture itself, the one that grabbed your attention. Cut Out People.
Visually, yeah, it's really quite something. Okay, picture this. It stands a full 13 feet tall.
That's substantial.
Yeah, entirely made of metal. And what struck me immediately was how it makes these human forms. It uses two flat, two-dimensional profiles.
Yeah.
Intersecting at right angles.
Like exactly.
It's like this visual trick. As you move around it, the whole thing seems to shift and reform. Sometimes it looks solid, really present, and then it almost dissolves into these flat planes. It's captivating.
And what's fascinating there, I think, is that title, Cut Out People. It might make you think of something temporary, maybe light, like paper cutouts.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it's juxtaposed with this very substantial, very permanent material, metal. And that tension between the idea of something ephemeral and the solid reality of the metal, that really speaks to a core idea in contemporary sculpture, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, how do you represent something fleeting, maybe intangible, in a permanent form? Perhaps McCarthy is suggesting that, even our perceptions of people are layered. They can shift like those flat planes. But their presence, like the metal, still has this lasting impact.
That's a fantastic point. Really makes you think about how we perceive and remember people. And the figures themselves, they aren't just static outlines, are they?
Not at all.
They seem to be in constant motion, flowing, jumping, almost like they're dancing in and out of each other. Yeah. It gives the whole piece this incredible sense of energy, dynamism.
Mm-hmm.
You really do have to move around it to grasp the full effect.
Yeah.
It's not a sculpture you just glance at. It actively invites your movement, your engagement.
Absolutely. That dynamic composition is key. It's designed for that multi-viewpoint experience. It makes you, the viewer, an active participant in unlocking the artwork's meaning.
Yeah.
The visual experience genuinely unfolds. It evolves as you walk around it.
And then there are the painted patterns on the figures. Now, at first glance, I thought maybe they were just decorative.
Ah, but there's more to it.
Right. I learned they're actually designed very meticulously. They represent the shadows cast by the sun.
Yes. This is a particularly insightful aspect of the work, I think. By permanently painting the shadows, McCarthy is directly engaging with our perception, with that interplay of light and form.
Uh-huh.
He's taking something inherently transient, a shadow, something that shifts, disappears, and making it a fixed, enduring feature.
So it always looks shadowed, no matter the actual light.
Exactly. It's a clever technique. It ensures a consistent visual effect, gives him real control over how you experience the piece, regardless of the weather or time of day.
And the whole thing is presented on a plinth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which gives it that extra elevation.
It does. It enhances its presence, gives it importance in that public space.
So, okay, it's clearly a deeply thoughtful, visually arresting piece. Now, where exactly can someone go to see cutout people for themselves?
Cutout People is located in Blackrock Park in Dublin, and what's really significant about this location is that it's part of the Dun Laoghaire Rathdown Sculpture Trail, the DLR Sculpture Trail.
Okay, a sculpture trail. That sounds like a fantastic initiative, like a deliberate way to weave art into everyday life.
Precisely that. The DLR Sculpture Trail is a conscious effort, integrating contemporary art into the urban environment, making culture more accessible to everyone. Placing cutout people in a public park rather than, say, inside a gallery, it really democratizes that encounter with art.
Right.
It allows for those spontaneous moments of connection you described right at the beginning.
That makes perfect sense. Especially thinking about the sculpture's design. That open, natural setting of the park must really enhance that multi-angled viewing experience you
It
mentioned.
does.
You can walk all around it, see it against the trees, the sky. It creates a completely different dynamic than seeing it inside under gallery lights.
Indeed. The natural surroundings become almost an active participant in how we experience the work. Now let's delve a bit deeper into the artist himself, Danny McCarthy. As we've established, he's a profoundly influential figure, a pioneer, really, in Irish contemporary art.
Absolutely. His training started at NSAD, the National College of Art and Design. That was the foundation. But he's since become known as a true innovator, hasn't he? Particularly in sound art and performance art in Ireland.
Very much so.
Over 40 years of exhibiting, performing nationally, internationally. That speaks volumes about his dedication and impact.
It really does. And what's particularly compelling, I think, is not just his own art, but his pivotal role in actually building the infrastructure that supports the arts in Ireland. He was a founding director of the Driscoll Arts Centre in Cork.
Which is such a vital, dynamic arts hub.
Exactly. And he also co-founded the National Sculpture Factory, also in Cork.
Right, you mentioned that. That sounds like a really direct, crucial response to a need within the art community.
It was. The National Sculpture Factory was set up specifically to provide affordable studio space, essential resources for sculptors.
Wow. So beyond making his own art, he was instrumental in building the place for others to make theirs too.
That really highlights his deep commitment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nurturing other artists, fostering sculpture in Ireland. He also served as director of the Sirius Arts Centre in Cobh, currently directs Sonic Vigil. And his list of former directorships is extensive, Enseriad, Sculptor Society of Ireland. It just underscores his deep involvement in shaping the Irish arts landscape.
It's clear he's not just focused on his own output.
Yeah.
He's actively cultivating this whole artistic ecosystem. And he's not just an artist and administrator, he's also a curator, right? With a distinguished record there too.
Yes, and his curatorial work often pushes boundaries between disciplines. Co-curating Sound Out with David Tube, a huge figure in sound art globally, that really shows his international standing, his engagement in that dialogue. And then there was Bend It Like Beckett, a CD project for the Beckett Centenary. Shows his connection to literature, the breadth of his interests.
And Sonic Vigil, which you said he directs now, but he also co-founded it, that's become a really important festival for experimental sound and improvisation.
It has. He's constantly pushing those boundaries, fostering new forms.
He also founded the Quiet Club with Mick O'Shea, didn't he? A sound art performance group that's performed internationally.
That's right. Now, while cutout people is obviously a visual sculpture, it's really crucial, I think, to connect it back to McCarthy's extensive influential work in sound art and performance. His broader practice often explores listening, silence, memory. The sonic possibilities hidden in objects and places.
You mentioned some of his sound installations earlier, like Haunted by Silence, using field recordings from an abbey.
Yes, exactly. That piece focused on almost imperceptible sounds, the contracting wood in St. Mary's Abbey, Glencairn. It's a perfect example of how he draws our attention to sounds we might normally miss.
And the memory box room, exploring memory through fragmented sounds.
Yes, and what he poetically calls the cracks between the silence.
So, okay. How do these sound explorations relate back to a visual piece like Cutout People?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. You can interpret the cutout forms, the negative space in the sculpture, and those deliberately painted shadows. You can see them as visual parallels to his sonic work. The sense of implied presence and absence, the way light interacts with solid forms versus voids. It's like a visual equivalent to the silence and the nuanced sounds he works with.
Ah, I see. Exploring presence and absence, but through different senses.
Exactly. It's about investigating that territory, whether through hearing or seeing.
That's a really insightful connection. It makes the sculpture even richer. And you mentioned his piece, Found Sound, Lost at Sea, 11.1.11.1. That was the very first sound artwork acquired for the Irish National Collection.
It was indeed a profoundly significant milestone.
That must have been huge.
Absolutely. A pivotal moment for recognizing sound art within the Irish art historical context. And McCarthy's acclaim goes far beyond that. Numerous awards, bursaries, first prize in EV plus A, the big open submission exhibition in Ireland.
Right.
His works in major collections nationally, internationally. It all points to his considerable impact and the high regard he's held in.
So bringing it all together then, Cut Out People isn't just this standalone piece. It's a fascinating reflection of a really diverse pioneering practice, a truly pivotal figure in Irish contemporary art.
Exactly right. The sculpture's visual elements, that intriguing form, the considered painted shadows, they genuinely resonate with his broader concerns in sound and performance. These themes of presence, absence, how we perceive the world.
And its location, that public placement in Black Rock Park, is so vital for accessibility, for fostering those everyday encounters with art.
Absolutely. Ultimately, Danny McCarthy's legacy comes from his compelling art, yes, but also his instrumental leadership in building institutions and his work as a curator. He has truly shaped the landscape of contemporary Irish art.
So maybe as you go about your day now, you'll look at public art a bit differently. You might consider how artists working in what seem like totally different mediums, visual art, sound art, might actually be exploring surprisingly similar ideas underneath, or perhaps reflect on other public art you know that blurs those lines. What are the unexpected connections you see, the visual cracks between the silence in the world around you?